Hello! You're listening to Tastes Like More, the Glacio Radio Show here on CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph. And guess what? We're smack dab in the middle of kazoo season. Yes, Kazoo Fest is happening April 11th to April 15th. You can go to kazoo.ca for all of your kazoo needs and kazoo information. Not just Kazoo Fest, but the Kazoo Print Expo. And just a whole weekend of me making noises. Speaking of kazoo, Thursday, March 22nd, the weather station, they're coming to Guelph with Alana Gurr in the Great Estate. They'll be at Royal City Church, guys. KazooKazoo.ca. Ticketfly.com if you want tickets for that show. But in the meantime, head over to KazooKazoo.ca to see the incredible lineup that has been put together for 2018. Kazoo Fest happening in Guelph for multiple years now. I don't even know how many, so I'll just make a number up. 15. Oh my gosh. Speaking of Kazoo Fest, Guelph's very own Jenny Mitchell will be performing with her project known as Bird City. And Bird City just put out a brand new album. I guess that, when was that? November? Called Winnowing. It's available right now on label Fantastic and Coax Records. And so yesterday I did a little interview with Jenny from Bird City. But before I do that, I'm going to play some Bird City. And this is a track by Bird City called Bird City, before I interview Jenny from Bird City. You're listening to Tastes Like More, the Glacio Radio Show, here on CFRU Kazoo Fest. Yay!
As I drive away from town, I
Say things.
I'm saying things. Oh, absolutely. Now I'm distorting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Weird. Just bad headphones, maybe. I don't really need them.
Okay.
I'm going to listen to the cannons because I'm watching the levels. Do you want to check our levels?
Yes.
Okay, use a British accent.
I don't know how to do a British accent.
Let's try.
I don't know which ones are British ones. I always end up doing like Australian or something.
Okay, let's do Australian.
Hello. I'm here with Glacio.
Check.
Which accent check. Is this, Glacio?
Check. G'day. You call that a knife? This is a knife. Check.
More checking levers. Which one? Which accent's that, Glacio?
That's more British.
Oh, no. I was trying to do Australian. So this is what
okay, try British and then you might get Australian.
Yeah. Thank you for taking me here to see if all you. Yeah, that's Australian, isn't it?
No, that's more Cockney, I'd say.
I don't know.
And welcome to the Kazoo Podcast. Yes, my name is Glacio DeFluvial. I'm here with Jenny Bar-Mitchell-Cord of Bird City, who will be playing this year at Kazoo Fest.
I don't know when.
There's no schedule.
No, I mean, I don't think that I even know when.
When would you like to play?
There's no bad time to play. Though, I've played the Pancake Breakfast a number of times in the past, and I really love it. I think that not doing the Pancake Breakfast this year would be a neat shift, I guess, if I want to branch out into something else. I'm playing with, probably my full band, or at least, an expanded band closer to the album release version of the band. So I think probably a nighttime show would be good. I don't know.
So if you're listening out there, Kazoo people, nighttime show, no pancakes.
I'm sure they already know when I'm playing.
Would you be willing to play a nighttime pancake show?
Always.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Anytime.
There should just be food at all the shows.
Yeah, like food-specific shows.
Yeah, like even if they just have like a vat of batter and you could just make a pancake on demand
You don't have to make a pancake with a vat of batter.
No, but I mean if they don't want to pre-make the pancakes and then find out that nobody's in the mood, mm-hmm. they could just make the batter, which might keep a little longer, and just could be like a pancake on demand. You could be responsible for your own pancake if you want one.
Both vat batter and pancake on demand sound like they could be bands playing at Kazoo Fest.
That's true. Pancake on demand.
Opening for vat batter.
Oh, yeah. I like vat batter a lot, actually.
So you said you're playing with your whole band.
At least some of them. I mean, I haven't worked out exactly who, but I played with I think there were 7 or 8 of us at the album release.
Right.
And just since this is a local show, I can't usually take very many people with me when I play out of town because it's just not feasible. I can't all fit in a minivan with all the gear and everything. But locally, when everyone can get themselves there, I can sort of play with as many of the sort of album band as want to come, mm-hmm. which is kind of exciting.
Right.
It's in classic form. It's not like we've all been rehearsing together. So the three of us, me and Steph and Scott, have been doing all of our shows together. So the bass, drums, and me are kind of the locked-in pieces. And then the other parts kind of come on and add extra auxiliary stuff.
So do you have anything planned? Any secret gimmicks planned for your show?
Well, no, but if they were a secret, wouldn't I keep them secret?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you could, yeah, I guess so. Question, if you were able to do a food-specific show, what would you like the food at your show to be?
I'm really a fan of cookies at shows.
Yeah. Make your own cookies while the show's going on? No,
perhaps.
Bad move.
Nice smell, though.
It is a nice smell. No one ever considers the smell at shows.
No, I think I don't know that there's often candy at shows, but that seems really compatible. Popcorn even. I don't know why there isn't more movie style snacks while you're watching music.
Popcorn.
If you were a bar and you were going to suddenly have popcorn at your shows, you'd probably invest in a machine to make it.
Suddenly have popcorn at your show?
Well,
can you do that?
I don't know.
Do
it. How far ahead of time do they need to plan? I'm not a restaurateur. I don't know how long that stuff takes to
Neither are people who make popcorn.
I just, to me, picturing a lot of people drink the types of drinks that are typically drank at shows, mm-hmm. drunk at shows. I don't know what that would be.
No, drunk.
I would say beer, wine, pop, juice, all the things that kind of come out of a bar all seem compatible with popcorn.
Let's name other drinks. Milk?
No, not at a bar.
Eggnog?
Not at a bar.
Gravy. There's always an uncle sometime, whether it's Thanksgiving.
There's always an uncle sometime.
Yeah, they're opening for Fat Batter. There's always an uncle sometime who will comically drink the gravy. Have you never experienced that?
I had an uncle.
He's dead now.
Have him, but he claimed to be a cheese connoisseur and had a big cheese tasting we all watched.
If you're going to boast, go that way.
It's a strange one, eh?
Yeah.
Watching someone eat cheese thoughtfully.
I feel like connoisseur could be replaced with fetish in that circumstance.
It was an odd move for the family. Like, I thought it was a weird thing for us all to be watching, to watch someone test flavors. Like, I don't know. That doesn't seem like a visual thing.
Do you want to have a segment of the show called Kazoo Memories?
Kazoo Memories. Ooh, yeah. There's lots of good ones.
This is a segment of the show called Kazoo Memories. Do you have any kazoo memories?
I remember when I gave birth, the weekend of kazoo.
I remember that too.
That was quite notable.
Wasn't it the day before you played?
Well, it depends. I was supposed to play on the Saturday and the Friday, I believe. I think that it was something like one of the bands where, so the Burning Hell were playing on the Friday night at my dad's store.
Mm-hmm.
Richard and the Country Band were playing Saturday morning. I think it was like a downtown show or something like that, or afternoon maybe. And then I was playing the Sunday morning at the Pancake Breakfast. And so I went into labor on the Friday. So I remember my dad wanted me to come like have the baby at the store, which was an outrageous thing. But in any case, I had the baby Friday morning. I did not make it to the Burning Hell show Friday evening, unsurprisingly.
Yeah.
And then I did debate going to the Saturday show. I don't think I debated playing, but I was thinking of going. And then again, it was like still only 24 hours since baby, so I wasn't really up to it. But I did make it to my set Sunday morning. So this is one of those things where I was in labor / just had a baby. And then meanwhile, kazoo's happening all around me, which I love so much. And it was a year where I was playing in an especially large number of bands. So making it to my own, that was my Jenny Omnicourt set, was the Sunday morning. So it was the only one that was like my set as opposed to me being in a band. So I just really wanted it to make it to that one. So I brought little, I guess like 2-day-old Otis with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're wearing a baby labor t-shirt.
Oh, yeah. How about that?
I know. And I bought a baby labor t-shirt at Kazoo Fest last year.
Oh, how about that?
That is so weird.
Baby labor theme.
That
I bought this at Kazoo last year.
So weird.
Did you buy a different one than the one I'm wearing?
Yes.
They had two designs, and
weird.
I bought the other one at Kazoo Fest, too.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Because I loaned them equipment. One of the shows at Silence or something, and we went to help baby labor move some stuff around, and then I got a t-shirt.
That is so weird.
Yeah.
That's my kazoo memory.
That's my most prominent kazoo memory, but I have, like, lots of kazoo memories, like, just because I go every year. I don't know if I've ever missed one since there's been a festival.
I'm not sure I have either. I look forward to it every year.
Me too.
Even when I had a job, I would say, I'm going to take time off and go to kazoo.
Trained to look for bodies, but I could because I had this hobby. Deep down with the long black eels, I can't describe the way I'd feel. Going down to look for bodies. They hadn't found yet. I started up a museum of the Great Lakes, full of all the things that I couldn't take. 'Cause I can't believe the things I'd find are harder still things that the water kept. Burned an image that I can't forget. Going down to look for bodies. When I was looking for someone not buried. Into the dark to where they're carried. And when I knew that I was the only one breathing, I can't describe the way I was feeling. Going down to look for bodies. All those things they left behind. Cause no one gets to keep their bodies. No, I can't believe the things I'd find. Going down to look for bodies. All those things they left behind. Going down to look for bodies.
This is the part of the show where we do impressions.
Impressions, oh no.
What's your best impression? Is it somebody from Australia?
I have no good impressions.
Okay. You want to try one?
No. I'm really bad at it.
Okay.
I think when I try and imagine what an impression would sound like, it's like the most embarrassing concept. A failed impression?
Yeah.
Because, if you say them to yourself, you're that weird person doing impressions alone.
So me every day,
yes.
And if
you say them to someone else, yeah. Then you run the risk of just failing miserably.
Okay. Well, fine.
Then what's your impression?
I don't know. I was going to do an impression for your impression.
A-choo-choo-cha-cha!
Oh, let's do this. This is the part of the show where Jenny...
I interview you?
No, you interview yourself as me.
Oh.
So ask yourself a question as me.
Are you going to do me?
No, you'll do yourself.
I'm going to respond to both.
I'm going to eat a ham.
Oh, gosh. Okay, let me think. Good morning. You're listening to Taste Like More, the Glacio Radio Show here on CFRU 93.3 FM here in Guelph. A-choo-choo-cha-cha. Jenny Bar-Mitchell-Cord, I am here to interview you today. And we're just going to wing it. Okay. Do you know any impressions? I don't know any impressions. Okay. The weather today is... Oh, no, but we don't know the weather. We're doing this ahead of time.
Yeah,
I
no.
already failed.
This is a podcast. Why are we telling... People can listen to this anytime.
I was just trying to think of all the things you always say on your show to sound really familiar.
Technically, what I say is, a-choo-choo-cha-cha! That's my catchphrase, a-choo-choo-cha-cha.
Well, yeah, but, yeah!
What was that?
That's you doing Rob Zombie.
That's your Rob Zombie?
That's, no, it's me doing you doing Rob Zombie.
Okay, well, that makes sense then.
Yeah.
Did you want to ask Rob Zombie a question?
Mr. Potter, that's me doing you doing...
Alan Rickman?
Doing Snape.
So your impression... You can do an impression of me doing impressions?
I guess...
Let's go down this road.
That one's super deep, though. That's like a four-part removed.
Yeah.
Going somewhere, Mr. Potter.
That's right. That's how it is. Yeah.
Did you want to ask Rob Zombie a question? It has to be a yes or yes question.
I interview people randomly that I don't know all the time, but right now I'm coming up blank.
Do you know he did art direction on Pee Wee's Playhouse?
I did not know that.
Yeah. Listeners might not know that either.
Oh. Cowboy Curtis. There's got to be a good question about Cowboy Curtis, but I can't think of a yes
What?
Or
Cowboy
no
Curtis?
One. Am I saying the wrong name? What's his name?
Rob Zombie.
No. I mean, I wanted to ask him a question about Pee Wee's Playhouse. I was trying to think of like a...
Oh, okay. No, Cowboy Curse. You're right.
Yeah.
Larry Fishburne.
Larry. That's what I was going to ask Rob Zombie.
Yeah.
Did Lawrence Fishburne go by Larry Fishburne back then?
Yeah!
Wow.
There, see?
He knew.
That's a good deep question, right? Because I would usually, if I have like a nice, like very specific question like that, I would ask it early on to show Rob Zombie that I was paying a little bit of attention to the backstory, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We should probably ask about your new album, Winnowing, that came out on Coke/label Fantastic Records.
It did.
Tell us. I have to interview like I don't know you.
Okay.
Tell me about your new album, Bird City Winnowing.
Well, it's very exciting to have released this album. It came out in October, but it was the product of, I would say, over 3 years of recording. But the songs on it range from ones that were written during the recording process all the way back to songs that are like over 10 years old at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Bird City was kind of like a name for the catchment of songs that didn't fit with Bar Mitzvah Brothers or Jenny Omnicord or other projects. So when I was younger, they were sort of like the folk songs that slipped out that I guess Bar Mitzvah Brothers to me was a little bit more, a little sillier or a little bit more of like a band identity. So if I wrote something particularly personal or vulnerable, I didn't always feel like it was appropriate coming out from the context of this group of friends. So sometimes they would get set aside for that reason. And then Jenny Omnicord was just quite literally all the Omnicord songs. But I still played banjo and guitar and tenor guitar all those years. So every time I wrote a song that kind of didn't fit, it sort of just became this body, this growing body of Bird City. And then, I don't know, somewhere along the line, I guess I had been Jenny Omnicord for 10 years. Bar Mitzvah Brothers had been gone for a few years. And I just started to identify with that body of songs more than the other things I was working on. And I think I refrained from ever putting Bird City songs out, really. You have the one little EP I put out.
The songs from Bird City?
Yeah, in 2005.
Why did you not put that out?
Because it was so personal. Like, I put out that little EP at the show, but it wasn't a project that I like identified with at the time. Like, I just, it was for me, but not for the general public.
So what was the turning point in you deciding you wanted to put that out?
Somewhere around, it was 2018 now, around like 2014 or even earlier, I guess 2013 might have been the first kind of stages. 2013 would have been the 10th anniversary of Jenny Omnicord. So I put out Days of Hard Drives. That was like the kind of B-sides and sort of not a best of, but a best of the weird recordings of Jenny Omnicord. And that was kind of like my, for that time, final album for Jenny Omnicord. So Jenny Omnicord's not actually gone, but that was the 10-year kind of marker. And after 10 years of playing Omnicord, I felt ready to branch out. And part of what had hidden Bird City songs away was like the vulnerability. Like, I was kind of intimidated at the idea of just being too fragile or the songs being too emotional, getting too sad, too much stage fright, any number of those feelings. And then I think after 10 years of playing Omnicord, I felt like that kind of challenge of getting that raw emotion out and sharing that with people would probably be like a really healthy thing to try doing.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also wanted to do it justice. It had been a body of work that had sat with me for so long that I didn't want it to just come out. I wanted to be prepared. I wanted to be able to tour it to really mean it. So I started around 2013 just shaping my writing and my preparation and saving up money and, you know, brainstorming who might play on it and just putting all the pieces together for a strategy that by the time the album came out, I would really be like fully committed to Bird City being my identity. And so it took 3 years to financially be able to finish recording it. But it was also this crazy process of only doing like two or three songs at a time. I think in the end it averages like 3 songs a year or 4 songs a year or something like that. And then in that time I broke up with my partner of 10 years, the father of my children. But then the recording took so long that by the time I was done it, we were in a good enough place again that he ended up mastering the record, which was really beautiful. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's just a kind of a lot of things transpired in the years of the album that by the time I was ready for it to come out, I guess I was ready in all the different ways.
Well, that's very good. You explained everything.
That's all the questions you would have?
Yeah. Well, no, actually, should we do a little episode of Snack Chat?
What's that?
Where we talk snacks.
Oh, my gosh. I
you know,
snacks.
There's only been one other guest on Snack Chat, that being Nathan Lahr.
Oh.
So you're the second guest of Snack Chat.
Okay.
All right, let's do it. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Top three chips.
I really have been super partial to Miss Vicky's salt and vinegar.
Yeah. Is this a recent...
I mean, like, you know how, like, if you eat a lot of chips, sometimes it's hard to actually think of your favorites because you keep revisiting them. You'd almost have to have, like, time away and think back. But I'd say that these ones have reemerged. They were, like, a teenage favorite. And then when I tried them again as an adult, I was just brought right back with nostalgia and current love. So I'd say they're still very high on the list.
Number two.
I like All Dressed, like the Ruffles.
Ruffles All Dressed.
All Dressed.
Classic.
Mm-hmm. I like the way they crunch. They're so anointed with their seasonings that they kind of like vanish in your mouth. It's really weird. It feels like so bad for you.
Yeah. They're the royalty of chips.
Yeah.
They are bad for you. If you look at the fat content of Ruffles, I think it's because they're thicker and they soak in more grease and sodium.
Oh, yeah, I think so. No, it's unbelievable.
And all those ridges fold in.
Taste like the worst thing you could do. Like if you ever, I don't know if you drink pop, but if you go a little while without drinking pop, then you drink one again.
I'm sorry, I'm not rich like you.
Oh, well, I drank a can of Coke because they keep delivering them when we get pizzas. They bring pops too. And I drank one, and it's like if you go any amount of time without drinking one, when you go to drink it, it seems insane.
Very sweet.
That you put that
like
in your
syrup,
body.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you're drinking a thing that's only bad.
Yeah.
And that's what All Dressed is like. It tastes like everything is wrong.
Right. But it also reminds you the next morning when you wake up after you've brushed your teeth twice and you still taste it.
Oh,
it
weird.
Makes you ask yourself some questions. And Ruffles Barbecue does the same thing as well.
Oh, yeah, weird. It's making me cringe.
So we got Miss Vicky's salt and vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
Classic. Although this has been an observation. I've done some very serious chip polling over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And females tend to love Miss Vicky's salt and vinegar. Love them. It's really? Almost, yeah, it's like 95% top three chip for females.
See, Doritos should have done that research before claiming they were making a women's chip.
I know. Miss Vicky's salt and vinegar are crunchy like they're crunchier.
All ghetto.
Yeah, they're crunchier than
right
a crunchy
end.
Bar.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. they call that bar a crunchy because it crunches.
See, that's why I like the Miss Vicky's brand. I eat a lot of Irresistible brand chips, which I also enjoy.
Yeah.
But if you leave Irresistible brand chips for a while, they stay crunchy, but they get like almost like see-through. Like they're so insane. Whereas Miss Vicky's, something about the way they're made, they're like a quality potato or something. They hold their own for a good long time.
You think they're air dried?
I don't know, but I've had like a bag open here, you know, hidden from Andrea. But like I've had a bag open and then gone back like a week later and they're still fresh.
For those listeners who might not know, Andrea is an employee here at the CFRU where we're doing this interview who has a snacking problem.
Yeah, so we share an office and chips are not a thing that stays, really.
Yeah.
If they're there, then they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what's number three?
I have this memory of this chip I only had one time, and it was Lay's, but it was called Limon, and
I had it
in the States.
I had them in the States on vacation.
Yeah. I really remembering just, like, I remember loving that chip, but I only had it, like, the one time. So I don't know if it would stay in the favorites if I had it all the time.
Can I tell you what I thought of it when I had it?
What did you think?
It kind of tasted like salty lemon sucker flavor.
Yeah, but that's like a very specific Mexican flavor.
lemon sucker?
Yeah. No, like lemon salt is like, it tasted like artificial candy. Yeah, I know, but it was kind of neat weird for that.
Neat weird.
Yeah. I taste a chip that I have not tasted anything like it anywhere, it jumps rank. Like, sometimes it's just completely a bad idea, but a lot of the time I'm just really impressed that they found one that's all its own. Like, sometimes you just think all the chips have been made, and then, no.
Sometimes you do just think the chips have been made, and then what do? You move on to Doritos. What's your favorite flavor of Doritos?
I don't have a favorite flavor.
That's acceptable.
Well, because I've never bought them for myself.
Yeah, they're intense.
So I just eat them when people have them. I like them fine, yeah. But I've never bought a bag for me to have. So they've always been a thing I've had at like a party or somebody else is having them. So I just have their kind.
Yeah.
I liked the idea of the Russian roulette one. I thought that was neat.
They weren't Russian. That would be an interesting marketing campaign. There's one bullet in the chamber. Are you ready to eat it?
Yeah, but
it was. I think they were just called Doritos Roulette.
Oh, it's roulette. It's just the random part.
Yeah,
the Russian part is the gun part.
Yeah, Russian. Oh. Yeah,
the deer, see, I thought the whole
the deer
term
hunter
was
of chips.
I thought the whole term was the random, like somebody's gonna lose.
Well, yeah. Well, sometimes you win.
But in Russian roulette, no one wins. They just don't lose.
Well, one person loses.
Yeah, but no one wins. They win by just not getting shot.
How do you...
That's not a win. That's just where you already were.
Yeah, that's true. Well, no, but yeah. maybe that was what Doritos was going for. Nobody wins. You're just where you are. That should have been the marketing campaign.
Yeah, but I thought that the thing was every once in a while, one was insanely spicy, and you're like, ah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what they're hoping, the noise you would make. Mm-hmm. There was never commercials for it, right? I don't have
to. No, I've just seen them.
I don't have TV.
It's like those, the jelly beans, the Harry Potter, the Bertie Bott's beans or whatever. The ones where they have ones taste like vomit and boogers
Bertie
and stuff.
Bertie Bott's.
Like, I guess you win when you eat one that tastes like a jelly bean. But if you were looking for that to be a win, you would
Isn't
just
there, like,
buy jelly beans.
Earwax flavor?
Yeah,
that's unnecessary.
No, there's a lot of things now where it's like, imagine the marketing on like, buy this thing and half of it's gross, but you don't know which half.
Question, table syrup, maple syrup, what you prefer? What you prefer?
Maple.
This is an episode of what you prefer.
Maple, why wouldn't I?
Because like some people more? Like fake syrup over maple. So there are people out there, man.
That's weird.
It is.
No, that's not me.
I never had real maple syrup till I was an adult.
That's true, but I never had, like, pancakes or anything good. Like
until you were an adult?
Kinda. Like, my child, I grew up with my dad, and we weren't having pancakes.
This is an episode
Saturday
of
mornings.
Sad, sad stories.
No, like, other kids' Saturday mornings, I assume, were, like, or something. Weekend mornings?
Sunday morning was usually
But my dad was,
day.
Like, he's a thrift store guy.
Yeah.
Saturday mornings were garage sales.
Yeah.
Like, I have a childhood memory of, like, we would go at garage sailing with my dad, like, super early in the morning. And he'd, like, get us to eat, like, Fruit Loops or something before we left.
Right.
So that we wouldn't be starving while we were driving around. And I have, like, many memories of, like, throwing up Fruit Loops on the lawn at the end of the garage sale morning.
Should we end the
podcast
here?
That was my
here?
Table syrup. No pancakes for little Jenny. I probably had him at, like, Golden Griddle at a family lunch or something. Sometime.
Oh, you wouldn't forget that.
No.
Final chat quack. Chat quack. We're back to chat quack. Final chat. Snack chat. That's what the show's called, snack chat. Final snack chat question.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite cheesy snack?
Oh, I am partial to those. I always forget their names, but the hard ones that come out. They're, like, made in Ontario.
Yeah.
That little town.
Yeah, the ones from Belleville.
The ones from Belleville. What are they called?
It starts with an H? An H?
Maybe.
I don't like them.
No, I do. I think that they're...
They taste like the smell of a cheese shop. Do you know what I mean? When you walk into a cheese shop and you're like, oh, it smells like cheese. You know what cheese smells like. So you're not that disgusted. If you walked into a place that wasn't a cheese shop and it smelled like that, you'd be like, ugh. But it's a cheese shop. You expect it. So, is it? It's not Hendrix, is it?
No. I'm inclined to Google it, but.
My problem with those is they taste okay. I'm not a huge fan. But you can only eat like eight or nine of them, and you just start to feel horrible.
Yeah, but I think, like, for as much snacking as I do, and I really do, I think, like, I'm very good at moderation.
Yeah.
Like, I'll buy one bag of chips on tour or something, and it'll last me for, like, the whole week. I just eat a few chips, and then I put it away. And I know that's rare. So, I don't know. Like, Hawkins. Cheesies. Got it here.
Hawkins.
But, yeah, like, if I got, like, a bag of Hawkins, I think that part of it is, you know, the cheesies, like, the classic puffy ones.
Yeah.
They are so delicious, but they vanish. Like, the texture of them. We're getting into, like, all dress territory again, where they just kind of dissolve. So I feel like it's way more likely I will overeat something that makes it that easy. Whereas the Hawkins ones, something about the exact flavor you're describing, it moderates them for me. I think I really like the texture, and I like that I eat a few, and then I move on with my day.
Okay.
So, yeah. So they're self-regulating, I guess, for the very quality that you don't like. I do like it, but I like it in moderation, but I don't find that difficult.
I wish I could listen to myself and say, stop eating this, it's making you feel horrible.
Yeah, but it's harder with some things than other things. I have a hard time cutting myself off of cookies. Like, ice cream all comes down to, like, how much you put in the bowl in the first place. I can stop myself from going back to get more ice cream, but I'm never going to eat any less than I put in a bowl.
Yeah.
So if I put too much in there, it's all going in me for sure. I've never stopped myself, like, partway through a bowl of
ice cream. Well, it's going to melt. What are you going to do with it? Put it back in the freezer?
Well, you'd throw it out, I guess.
You're crazy.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, you know, I'm sure there's people who they eat as many chips as they want and then they throw it out too.
What would you call those people?
I don't know.
Republicans. Sorry, guys. Didn't mean to get political. Anyway, we'll tie this up with a promo of birdcity.bandcamp.com if you'd like to get the Bird City album. Labelfantastic.com, yeah?
Yep, labelfantastic.com, yep. And you can get it at Cokes Records. I think that one might be a .ca. But I mean, Bandcamp's great because I'd say of all of the ways to buy the album online or to order it, other than coming to a show and buying a record directly from me, is 100% money back to me, Bird City. But Bandcamp is probably the next closest, I would say. I think any other way would have a smaller cut. I think Bandcamp is the largest payout directly to bands.
And you should push your Golden Bus as well.
Oh, sure. The Golden Bus. If you want to find out more about the Golden Bus, you can go to the Golden Bus Stop on Facebook. That's probably the best bet, or goldenbus.tumblr.com. I mean, the bus will return and start having a show season probably in May. It'll roll back into Guelph in April. For listeners that aren't familiar with it, it's literally a 40-foot golden bus, and we host concerts and events inside of it. So we're in the beginning stages of working on our concert schedule for this year, but it's often very sort of seat of our pants, seat of the bus, the programming. It's like people coming through on tour who want to throw in another different show, kind of a different climate. So there's lots and lots of openings still to be determined, which is very exciting.
All right. Yeah. Well, thank you, Jenny Bar Mitchell Cord. We look forward to seeing you at Kazoo Fest whenever that might be. KazooKazoo.ca for all of your Kazoo Fest needs. And if you're out there listening, make sure you go this year. The lineup looks awesome.
It really does.
Yes. And thanks for listening, and thanks for joining me. And everyone, have yourselves a fine day. I love you all. Would you like to say something before we leave?
Just thanks for having me on the Glacio Radio Show. I look forward to listening every single week. And this week I get to be on it, which is very exciting.
You're welcome. Can you make up a catchphrase to end the show with?
No.
Okay. That's it.
No.
No. Signing off, Jenny Mitchell, Glacio de Fluvial. No.
There's a spot downtown, real great, that you left last night, real late. When all the drinkers walking
had run out of their time. Just sitting and sitting there, with not a single threatening stare. And you lay your head down for just a second, 'cause nobody seemed to mind. You've got hours and hours and hours to get home. Those hours and hours and hours when you're alone. An age and gender range that not even you look strange. Looking out at a city, wondering how it can seem so wide. And your thumb out and the sun out, and the pale is turning red. And you look up at the sun, thinking it's a better place to hide. You've got miles and miles and miles to wonder why. With passers and passers and passers passing by. Those hours and hours and hours away from home. Those hours and hours and hours. You'll be alone. City
on Taste Like More, the Glacio Radio Show, here on CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph. You're listening to the special kazoo podcast, Taste Like More, the Glacio Radio Show. And we just heard music from Bird City, who will be performing at Kazoo Fest this year. We heard the track Hours, and before that, Salvage Diver, and before that, the track Bird City by Bird City. And I'd like to thank once more Jenny Mitchell for joining me here and doing an interview about some of life's hardest topics, mostly crunchy cheesies. Now, if you're if you're new to Guelph and you're looking for something to do in April, well, Kazoo Fest is the place to be. KazooKazoo.ca, April 11th to the 15th, Guelph will be full of wonderful music and wonderful art. And I have lived in this city since 2002. And every April, when the students are ready to head on home, I remind myself once more why I love living in the city. And it's so often, well, the nucleus of that is Kazoo Fest. And soon enough, Kazoo will be putting out the schedule. Let's be honest, is there nothing more exciting on this planet than when a music festival puts the schedule out and you decide where you're going? I have to say it's a top, I don't know, like 6,100 things I do. 6,100. I'm talking like an American because I grew up across the river from Detroit. And I'm talking in a stunted cadence right now when I should really just be playing music. This year at Kazoo Fest, an artist named John Common is playing. Now, I saw John Common perform a house show once, Thanksgiving Day, John Common performed, and he was fantastic. No relation to the hip-hop artist Common, I don't think. However, he'll be playing this year at Kazoo Fest, and I'm very much looking forward to him play. This is a track from his EP entitled The Black Pits, This is Stay Inside by John Common, and you're listening to Taste Like More, the Glacio Radio Show, here on CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph.
Go alone.
Tough Age on Tastes Like More, the Glacio Radio Show here on CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph. Kazoo Fest Podcast Edition. That's right, Tough Age will be playing this year at Kazoo Fest. That's very exciting. That was from their album Shame, released last year on Mint Records, and the track we heard was Ghost. And we started that set off with Stay Inside by Jom Common from his 2015 EP entitled The Black Pit. You can get that at jomcommon.bandcamp.com. That is jomcommyn.bandcamp.com. Now, I want to play this song at the end, and I want everyone to hear the whole thing. I don't have to fade out. I figured this might be the most appropriate song for Kazoo Fest because it means so many things to so many people. But to myself, it not only does it, you know, insert you back into the community and remind you of what it is you love about this community, but you're surrounded by your friends, you're seeing music you want to see. And it's, you know, it's a wonderful thing. Where I grew up, you didn't have anything like this. Nothing whatsoever. At all. We had a soybean festival that later turned into a, quote, fun fest. But that's really all we had. But now I live here. I have Kazoo Fest. And I'm going to leave you with this song featuring a couple of former Guelphites. That's right. A couple of former Guelphites who have been involved in many a Kazoo Fest over the years. But before I leave you with this, I will remind you, you can get in touch with me here at tasteslikemore@gmail.com. All of my playlists are up at theglacioradioshow.blogspot.com. And there is a Taste Like More, The Glacio Radio Show Facebook page you can follow. CFRU.ca for all of your CFRU needs. And of course, most importantly, KazooKazoo.ca, where you can find out all of the information in regards to Kazoo Fest. But in the meantime, I'm going to leave you with a track from Whoopso. This is from their 2016 album, Citizens Band Radio. You can get it at thenoisymountain.bandcamp.com. This is Whoopso with All My Friends. Have yourselves a fine week. Have yourselves a fine Kazoo Fest. I love you all, and